Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 19.
Can't believe it's 19. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Wait till we get to 1,237. I'll still be saying it.
Well, I hope we live that long.
That's actually, well, never mind. Okay, I was gonna tell you how many weeks and months that would be, but never mind. And years. Anyway.
Do you have a scripture for us?
I do. So this is Mark 6:31 in the English Standard Version, the ESV. Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure time even to eat."
Mm-hmm. So that's a scripture where Jesus talks about the importance of getting away, taking time away.
And spending time alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we're talking about tonight.
Mm-hmm. About how to keep the marriage relationship strong by spending time apart from each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about taking vacations and doing things together, but we were talking tonight a little bit, and that's what got us started on this conversation, was about sometimes we just need to have some alone time.
Mm-hmm. What sparked the original conversation was I saw a reel on Facebook, and it was, you know, they hype them with a caption that draws in your attention so you want to see what it's about. And it was this really nice looking couple. They looked like they were in love with each other, and it showed them they were holding hands, and then they kissed, and then they turned and they walked away from each other, like still kind of clinging onto their hands till they dropped their hands. And the caption was something like, "After 12 years, we split up." Well, it wasn't what you thought when you opened it up and read the rest of the of the story with it. They were talking about how they both had a goal of doing some kind of air sport in every country in the world, but they wanted to do it different ways and different times. And so they actually spent several weeks apart during the year where they went on their own vacations to attempt these, to make this goal that they had about doing the air sports in different, and then it showed videos of them, you know, jumping out of airplanes and bungee jumping and gliding and parasailing and doing all that kind of stuff. And it's very interesting. But then they talked in the narrative about how they this keeps their relationship fresh, that they really appreciate the time apart from each other, and they're anxious to get back to each other when it's over. And so that sparked this conversation about having time apart from each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when I used to travel all the time, it was kind of like having a mini separation every time I left. I was on the road for quite a few years, so I would be home, well, depending on what was going on, I would be home maybe a day and a half or 2 days or something like that. I mean, a lot of times I'd get home either Friday night, Saturday morning, and then anywhere from 8 to 10 o'clock at night on Sunday, I'd be hitting the road again.
Mm-hmm.
So we were apart quite a bit. Now, I will say that I know I appreciated you a lot, I don't know about a lot more, but I appreciated you a lot when I got home, when I got a chance to see you and spend time with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I felt bad because then when you got home, you were doing all the quote-unquote manly chores, stuff that was more than I could handle, and I felt like you came home and you worked all weekend to get stuff accomplished that needed to be done. But I mean, you did this for 10 years, and what happened during that time, which is the other extreme, is I sort of built my own little life. And
yep.
In fact, it was when Wayne got home, I had switched jobs. I had a completely different schedule. I was on all these boards because I needed something to fill my time. So I was on a couple nonprofit boards, and you know, so when he got home and was home 7 days a week again, and he'd be calling me going, are you coming home today? Because a lot of these commitments were at night. I'm a night person.
And I'm not.
So it was easy for me to stay out. Then I wasn't sitting at home by myself. And so then I had to get off the boards and rearrange my schedule and try to, you know, get it so that we at least had several evenings during the week that we were spending time together. So you can go to real extremes with this, but it probably is good for your relationship to be apart. You know, there's that saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I think that we found that there are times where we just need a break from each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like we were talking about, I don't necessarily find or feel, I don't think that I need a break from you more than sometimes I just feel like I need a break from humanity, where I would just like to turn around, you know, turn away and, you know, walk into the woods for a couple of days and just get away from all the people that I deal with during the week and, you know, primarily at work, but just all the, you know, the hassle and the stress and the disagreements and the drama and all that other good stuff. So...
yeah, Wayne and I are still working full-time jobs, and there's drama. Both of our jobs have drama. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's like, we, you know, we're safe with each other, and lots of times that's why couples take out their frustrations on each other, and you have to be aware of that. It took maturity and a long time to realize this was going on, is you feel safe with your spouse, or
you should feel safe with your spouse.
You should feel safe with your spouse, and so you can unload on them, and you know there's not going to be repercussion. Whereas, like, you probably can't unload on your boss or coworkers or your children if you're still in the child rearing phase. I know, watching our daughter and some of the challenges she and her husband go through with their boys, and it's, you know, so I think sometimes we think that we want to get away from the other spouse, but really we just want to get away from life in general. Like Wayne said, we just want to get away from humanity, from people, and just have quiet time. And I think, you know, what Jesus was saying about getting alone time, I mean, his goal in getting alone was to get alone with the Father and to spend time in prayer and in God's presence. And as believers, that's something else that we need to consider is spending some of that time with the Lord to be refreshed and to get direction and encouragement from time in the Word. And
well, I know different people, we know different couples, especially pastoral couples, you know, they'll go on like weekly retreats or weekend retreats or something like that. But a lot of them also go on, what do you want to call it, solitary retreats, mm-hmm. where instead of the couple going, just one of them will go at a time, mm-hmm. you know, just to have some quiet time, you know, not only just have some quiet time, but just have some time alone with the Lord as well.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think there's different ways that you can do it. So this is definitely an area where you and your spouse need to have a discussion about what fits best for you. I know there was one couple that we knew that when they were raising their family, they had twins and two toddlers, and everybody was under the age of 5. And so we understand it's hard to get away, and especially lots of times in your younger years when you're raising your family, that's when you don't have a lot of money. So, you know, you may be listening thinking, oh, I don't have money to go anywhere or get away. What this husband did, and it was actually a pastoral couple, mm-hmm. Husband was a pastor of church. When he got home from work, he would stay with the children. I think it was every Thursday night.
They had
a set time. It was a set appointment on everybody's calendar. It was just like when your kids have ballet lessons or baseball practice or whatever it is. This was a non-negotiable time on the calendar, and he took the children and made them dinner and did whatever had happened at night and put them to bed. And he sent his wife off to go have a nice dinner by herself, to she could go spend time with the Lord, walk, go to a park or a museum or a movie or whatever she wanted to do. And that was how he allowed her to recoup and refresh during the week, so that she had a little time to herself and could get regenerated.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of times we talk and think about this kind of stuff, it's usually a long period, like over a day or a weekend or something like that. But just an hour of solitude, an hour away, an hour of quiet time, whether it's, you know, meditating or, you know, talking to God, communicating to God, praying, whatever it might be, it's helpful. It really is. I mean, just, you know, even if you're just whatever you like to do to relax, just, you know, especially if it's not something you have to really concentrate on or anything like that, just mm-hmm. something to unwind and get away and relax and have your own time and space.
Yeah, like I encourage you to go fishing. You like to go fishing, and mm-hmm. we live close by to some places where you can hop in the car and go fish for a few hours. I like to garden, so I go out in the yard and you leave me alone. So so I don't even leave the premises. I'm here, but I get a little break where I get a little downtime, a little de-stress time. I schedule vacation time from work where I have some time off and some mornings, especially during the summer. I like to sit in the patio and have my coffee, and so I'll make sure that I take some of my time off and schedule it to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, gardening is definitely not my relaxation. I grew up on a farm and we had large gardens, and when I think of gardening, I think of work. So even though, I mean, we do have some plants for you know, for food and stuff, but just gardening is not my relaxing time. Mm-hmm. Fishing, that's my relaxing time. Even if I don't catch anything, I mean, it may not be just sitting on the dock or on the bank throwing a worm in and, you know, just watching a bobber all day. It might be, you know, casting lures all day, but to me that's relaxing mm-hmm. and refreshing to do that. Or now we have a canoe, which I've been taking the boys out off and on. I haven't really done much with it myself, but I can see just doing that alone and just paddling around a lake or whatever, just relaxing that way.
And I like a relaxing activity for me is, because I'm a gardener, is, boy, when it's the beginning of greenhouse season, when the greenhouses all open up and the plants are on sale, I get in the car and I can go greenhouse hopping, and that is a great way for me to relax, to drive around the beautiful countryside where we live and to visit all the greenhouses and look at all the plants. And I definitely don't want to take you with me because Wayne rushes me. He doesn't mean to, but he used to when we were younger. You've stopped. You don't do it anymore, but he would be like, are you ready?
Well, I didn't realize it was annoying or what I was doing.
Are you ready to go? Can we go now? Kind of like when five-year-olds do that.
Well, when I go to a store, I've been told I shop like a guy, which is good because I'm a guy. But when I go to a store, typically I know what I want. I know where it is, and if I don't know where it is, it won't take me long to find it. I'll buy it, and I'm done shopping. Where you, on the other hand, will go through the store and find something, but then wander around the whole store to see if there's anything else you might want to get while you're there. Mm-hmm. And then swing back around and, do I want it? Do I not want it? Is there a different color? Is there a different size? Maybe some other store has it. Maybe I won't buy it at this store. I'll buy it in another store. So let's go to another store and go through the whole thing again. So yes, we would go one place. Oh, let's go here. Well, 10 stops later. Okay, I might be exaggerating. It might have only been 9 stops later.
Maybe only nine.
We may not have gotten to the place we were going yet.
We've done that.
We have done that.
Was that my birthday? You took me shopping for that, and we didn't get to any of the places that I wanted to go to. We went to all these other places. I mean, it was it ended up being stuff that I hadn't planned to go to, but mm-hmm. I enjoyed going to, but we never did get to the original plan, so.
No, and that's where I think maturity comes in. Well, at least I hope I've matured somewhat over the years. But that used to really annoy me, because I didn't realize that you had more than one place to go. Mm-hmm. And then we'd be driving on the road. Oh, well, I want to go here. Well, you didn't tell me that, but I want to go here too.
I didn't know until I got in the car and then was going in the direction of places. And then, oh, I could go here for that. And so it depends. Most of the time I'm a planner, but when it's in those situations, lots of times I get a little spontaneous.
Well, and see, that's, I think, part of the issue, too, is because you're way more of a planner than I am. Mm-hmm. So my perception a lot of times earlier on in our marriage was, oh, so you were planning to do this and you just didn't tell me because you knew I wouldn't go or wouldn't want to go or would be upset because we're going to spend the whole lousy day in the car shopping.
And it was really just my ADHD kicking in. But
anyway.
So it is important to talk about how you can make this work as a couple, and especially when you have young children. I always think of the story of the famous Wesley preaching brothers and their...
Oh, yeah.
Was it their mother or their wife? I'll have to look that up. I might have this whole wrong, but it was a Mrs. Wesley. She was related to...
I was going to say, it was one of the Mrs. Wesleys.
John and Charles Wesley. And... she had, I don't know, many children. She had a lot of children.
Yeah, I think it was their mom, but I'm not sure.
And she, it might have been their mother. And she wanted to spend her prayer time and daily time with the Lord. And that was back in the colonial times when the women had the big dresses, big long dresses and the big long aprons. And her children knew she had a chair. And at the same time, every morning, she would sit and she would put her apron up over her head. And her children knew that when mom was sitting like that, that they weren't to bother her, and they left her alone. And so she created a quiet space for herself in her chair with an apron over mm-hmm. her head. Now, I would not recommend that, but you always can find someplace, even if you have, the movie War Room was really popular a few years back, and it showed people who literally had prayer closets. Mm-hmm. A prayer closet is It's a metaphor for a place that you have that you can go to pray, but it's these ladies were actually praying in closets. They emptied out clothes closets mm-hmm. and were praying in there. Maybe you have a closet or a small room or a storage room or something in your house that you could put a chair in and a lamp or something, and you can go in there for, a set time let, even if it's 15 minutes, to have your, mm-hmm. your husband or wife say, I'm not going to bother you during, or let the kids bother you during that time. Mm-hmm. So you can be creative about it.
But it is important as far as communication is, if that's what you're doing, to let your partner or spouse know that, okay, I'm going in the room, I'm going to pray, I'm going to spend time with the Lord for an hour. So I really would appreciate it if you don't bother me. And as I'm talking about this, we're laughing because Cindy will invariably do this. And then, of course, somewhere along the way, I'll have a question and I'll, walk into the room where she's trying to pray or worship or whatever with a question because I completely forgot that she was trying to be alone.
Signs on the door help sometimes.
They do. Locking the door would help too. Mm. But then I'd probably knock and wonder why you weren't opening the door. Anyway,
so
we digress.
As always.
As always.
Well, we hope this has been helpful and it gives you something to think about and something to talk with your spouse about and look at, even if you've never done it before, try once a month to get some time away from each mm-hmm. other, and then get it where even if you're getting 15 minutes a week away from each other, just something. And I mean, I'm talking intentional and not while you're away at work from each other, where you're doing something that's good for you, something that energizes you, something intentional, something that you like to do.
Yep.
So until next week, we pray that your marriage will be richly blessed.
God bless. Bye now.
Bye.